B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mash.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Welcome to the program. It's Felger and Maserati presented by DraftKings. DraftKings is the presenting sponsor of the program here on 98.5 The Sports Hub and NBC Sports Boston, who has once again followed us to the Super Bowl. They beam us across New England and the country. Maz and Murray alongside. How you guys doing?
Good.
Hi, Maz.
Good, you?
Peachy, thank you. About a 4.5 today. I'd say it's about a 4.5.
It's better than last year's negative 10.
Correct.
Seriously.
So I've been worse. I'm not great. I'm definitely not great.
You want to get to the particulars now or later?
A 4.5. No, later.
Okay, good. That's what I thought.
I want to open with a couple of items for the people.
Oh, fine.
We can discuss my hangover later. The phones are open for you at 617-779-0985. Two things. Why do people continue to disrespect Jimmy Garoppolo? The disrespect, Maz, I imagine for you, must be getting a little much. Okay? I want to get to that.
Okay.
And I want to get to Hardy's reporting on what is, to this point, the upset of the week. The upset of the week. What the upset of the week is? That Brandon Lang was right. Brandon Lang, that slippery Vegas, you know, our handicapper we had on yesterday, when he told us the word out in Vegas that Tom Brady has bought property out in Las Vegas. It was easy to mock, given the source, correct?
No, absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
Really?
Stand by.
Now we're talking.
Okay, stand by. That's how we reacted when he told us the news.
I laughed about that all day yesterday.
Oh, God. Okay? He was right. Hardy, if you've listened to the Midday Show, Hardy has sources on the ground in Vegas. And the word in the real estate community out there in Vegas that Tom Brady has bought in a place in Vegas. They know the development. They know the area. Hardy mentioned on the midday. I've already forgotten what it is. But they have the specifics. It's true.
Oh, really?
Stand by.
Now we're talking.
Okay, stand by. You can qualify it if you want a little bit, saying that I think, and I don't know if Hardy mentioned this, but the word that was kicking around last night is that Brady is invested with this real estate group, and they have, so he has a place in Vegas. He also has a place with them in Idaho, and pop. So it could just be an investment property.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a vacation property.
Yep.
It could be just a blanket thing that he in his portfolio of this real estate company, has a Vegas property, and just luck of the draw could be there. It could be Timbuktu. Just sort of a coincidence.
No question.
Those are all possible. How do you read it?
That's a hell of a coincidence, isn't it? I mean, that's sort of how it might be a coincidence. I don't rule that out either. Look, again, guy like Tom Brady can have a million properties all over the place and afford them all. But under the circumstances, he's going to be a free agent for the first time of his career in a matter of weeks. There are a handful of teams that realistically could make it work that are logical spots. Vegas is one of them. Boy, that's a hell of a coincidence, isn't it?
I think it's so real, it's not even funny.
Same here. Just apply common sense to it. He's a free agent. One of the teams that would be a likely landing spot for him is in Las Vegas. He just bought property in Las Vegas. Just do the simple math. He's probably going there now. Like, that's the landing spot.
I mean, really, again.
It's all set up.
I think it's a real possibility. Follow the real estate. Follow the kids. Follow the families.
To me, that is
a major piece of news. Tom Brady has bought a place in Las Vegas.
Yes. Or has bought one. But that's, you know, either way. Bought?
Yeah.
Work with me. I know, yeah, it was a tough night last night. But that's all right. I'm going to let it slide.
So, item number one. How do you feel about Tom Brady as a Vegas Raider? I think it's pretty ballsy.
Oh,
it's pretty good.
Man, I'd buy that jersey so fast. I'd buy the home and the road.
I think it looks pretty good.
Told you, he looked good in that uni when Murray showed me that Instagram post.
Let me ask you something.
Yes.
So if Brady goes to Vegas and Derek Carr is available.
Sure, why not? I mean,
would you hate it? Would it make you wretch like Marcus Mariota or Andy Dalton or something like that?
He hasn't been the same since that injury that happened when they were, you know, they had a ridiculous record. Was that 2016? And he got injured late in that season. He was awesome. And then it's kind of gone sideways since. But I don't know. Belichick could probably get something out of him. I don't mind Derek Carr.
I think he can spin it.
Bit of a puss, but
I think my issues there are sort of attitude or style of play, more intangible. He can throw. I like his game, but there's something missing there. And I don't know what it is. But look, beggars can't beat the next guy. You're going to take a hit with the next guy.
Yeah. My answer is no.
Can you stomach him? No.
No, I'm a no.
You'd rather have Andy Dalton than Derek Carr.
I think so.
Marcus Mariota than Derek Carr.
Not Mariota. No. I never said Mariota.
But Dalton?
I just said there are better options than Derek Carr.
Dalton's a better option than Derek Carr.
I think he is.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I think Dalton's actually...
I disagree.
Oh, God, please.
I disagree big time. I think Derek Carr's a much better player than
Andy Dalton.
I think
Derek Carr lacks leadership skills.
Okay, he does. And I agree with that piece. He lacks something, but as a just the physical, he's much better than Andy Dalton.
Yeah, but if the team doesn't respond to the quarterback, you're toast.
And so, the Bengals respond to Andy Dalton?
More than the Raiders respond to Derek Carr.
I don't know about that.
That comment Carr made the other day about, I know the reason he was talking to Mark Davis.
And I go to dinner with him, too.
Oh, God, please. As soon as I heard that, I said, Joe Flacco Jr., for crying out loud. To me, that's exactly what he is. It's the same type of mental weakness that Flacco had. And I know Flacco won a Super Bowl, and he played great that postseason. But at the end of the day, what was he really? Okay, so was it because of him, or did it just go right for that short period of time? And I'm no on Derek Carr. I don't think he's got leadership skills or toughness.
Rank him, Murray, okay? You ready?
Yeah.
Jimmy Garoppolo, Derek Carr, Andy Dalton, Marcus Mariota. Go.
I'll give you Garoppolo.
We're talking.
Are you going from backward? You're going from 4-1 or 1-4?
No, I'm being firm but fair.
Wow.
Guys made a Super Bowl. I mean, granted, as a sidecar.
Hang on, let's do this right.
This is breaking sports news. Powered by Velvet Instant Change.
All right.
88.5, the Sports Hub.
It's breaking news. Yep, I'm ranking suck quarterbacks, but of the suck quarterbacks that Mike just had me go through, the number one of the suck is Garoppolo, followed by Derek Carr, and then I'll give you, who was it, Mariota? And then Dalton.
You put Dalton fourth?
I do. Yeah. Dalton's the worst of the worst.
Yeah, I agree.
No, he isn't.
Yes.
No, he isn't.
Yes.
No.
You're still winning the division with him next year.
Mariota's the worst of the worst. But we can quibble over the details. Mariota blows.
You will win the division with Andy Dalton. You will win the division with Marcus Mariota. You might get a bye with Derek Carr.
You're not with the division with Mariota.
Mariota's actually won a playoff game. Dalton never has. So I got to give him. I'll put him ahead of Dalton just for that.
Andy Dalton and has Kansas a career City. Winning record with Marvin Lewis.
Yeah, well,
and what's this new guy's name?
I don't know.
Zach Taylor as his head coach. Okay, you give him Belichick, it'll be better than those clowns.
Okay, so that's item number one. Rob Hartlepool and his sources on the ground in Vegas have confirmed Tom Brady has bought in Las Vegas. That is...
Bought.
Wow! That is awesome.
Bought.
Okay. Meanwhile, why do people continue to disrespect Jimmy Garoppolo? And Murray he didn't play into my hands there with that ranking, but he did send me this thing on ESPN Plus where they ranked the players in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Okay. And it's not just a day. It's from Pro Football Focus.
Ooh.
And that acronym might as well stand for Pure Factual Facts.
Okay. They're ranking the players. So if I were just, Lucy, off the top of your head, how would you draft the game? If you take any player, who would you start with?
Mahomes.
Obviously. And who would be number two? Come on.
Kittle?
Yeah, I think Kittle.
Yeah, Kittle's. I just think after Mahomes, you can really start to make an argument for just about any of the next seven guys. Okay, I think and I'm going by the Pro Football Focus list, which we can go through the particular names if you want.
Kittle's two.
Yep.
Number three is Richard Sherman.
Fine. To me, I think they're all in a group, but keep going.
I would have had Nick Bosa third, but that's just...
Okay, so I would have too, and Kittle is, I think, a different class than Richard Sherman. Number four is Travis Kelce.
Yes, absolutely.
You got to put him there.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Number five is Eric Armstead.
Yep.
Edge player in with the Niners. Number six is Chris Jones.
Yep.
Okay. Number seven, Tyreek Hill.
Yep.
Yeah.
Number eight, Nick Bosa.
Yep.
Okay.
Stop.
Who have I not mentioned?
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Number nine, Mitchell Schwartz.
Okay.
Who is Murray? Who's Mitchell Schwartz?
One of the offensive linemen.
Okay. You know that only because you looked at this.
Okay. So can I just interject here? This is where I stop. Mitchell effing Schwartz before Jimmy Garoppolo, starting quarterback in the Super Bowl.
Hey.
I don't give a crap.
PFF, Maz, they show the work.
I couldn't give a flying fish who whether he's a good right tackle or not. A quarterback, by definition, has to go in before a right tackle. Like, this is where I get off. Like, you know, the first eight guys, again, I'd move Garoppolo ahead of a couple of those guys. I'd have Garoppolo probably somewhere in the sixth area, somewhere in there. But if you want, at least all the players one through eight are legitimate players. Mm-hmm. Again, aside from Mahomes.
Kittle, Sherman, Kelsey, Bosa, right.
I mean, you know, all impact
Tyree
players.
Tyreek Hill, yes.
Yeah, all impact players. You're going to give me the freaking right tackle before Jimmy Garoppolo?
Let me give you more. Number nine is Mitchell Schwartz. Number 10 is Kwon Williams.
Who?
Corner. Exactly. How do I pronounce that first name?
Kwon.
Very good. K-W-A-U-N. Kwon Williams is number 10. Number 11 is Jimmy Ward, the safety in San Francisco.
Good player.
Number 12 is the Honey Badger, safety there in KC.
Another good player. I'd take Garoppolo before both of them.
Number 13 is DeForest Buckner, the D lineman there in San Francisco.
Another good player that you might be able to convince me could be ahead of Garoppolo on this list.
Number 14, Emmanuel Sanders.
Nope.
Great player. Number 15, Deebo Samuel.
Nope.
Had a good rookie year.
Raw. Number 16, Joe Staley, the left tackle.
Moose.
Nope.
And then at number 17, Jimmy Garoppolo. 17! They rank him 17.
I mean, it's insulting. It is. It's insulting.
Or factual.
And so, again, you're going to... So, like, Emmanuel Sanders, Deebo Samuel, like, good players. They're useless if you don't have a quarterback. They're useless. So, again, I sort of say the position in and of itself has great value. To put Garoppolo that far down is really just evidence of how stupid people have gotten on this discussion this week.
People got a little silly.
I mean, if this was from some Tom, Dick, and Harry website, I might be with you. But this is from Pro Football Focus. There isn't a better analytical website that covers football than PFF. And again, I believe that acronym actually stands for Pure Factual Facts. So when they have Jimmy Garoppolo at 17th, you can't argue it. It's just right in front of you. They show their work. They do it all for you. They break it down. They watch the film. And I happen to agree.
Did they rank them by war? Murray, what did they rank them
you
by?
You know, I don't know. I don't know whatever.
So now we're celebrating the nerds.
I don't know what kind of Pythagorean theorem that they're using. But
Pythagorean.
Know, whatever the hell. I trust it.
Yeah, I mean,
why do people feel the need to disrespect Jimmy Garoppolo?
Because I think there have been some mistakes there and a little bit of shakiness that makes people doubt him, which is legit. But what did he finish in terms of quarterback rating in the league? In the top eight?
He was top five, I'm pretty sure. I think it was third.
Okay, so like we're talking about a guy who played the position in the top, you know, 20% in the league-ish, maybe even higher. And he's the 17th most important player in the Super Bowl? I want to see the jackass who created the formula for this particular assessment. Like, that's just, I'm sorry, that's absurd. That is really absurd. I'm not asking for to be number one or number two, because I don't think he is. But 17? We're putting a right tackle before Jimmy Garoppolo in the Super Bowl? That's just stupid.
Okay, and just to correct myself, Jimmy Garoppolo is eighth in quarterback rating. God, 102 is eighth. In this day and age.
Okay, so again, that's literally top 25%, right? That's pretty good.
Derek Carr was not, just FYI. Right. Okay, so that's it. Those two things. Why do people continue to disrespect Jimmy Garoppolo and Tom Brady, a Vegas Raider? He's bought property out in Vegas, or Boughton, if you prefer. Your thoughts on both those items right after this. Felger and Maz, presented by DraftKings. The first hour of our coverage is brought to you by Woodbridge Wines. Back with more after this.
Felger and Maz. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz are live from Radio Row on South Beach in Miami. Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
First, I want you to handicap Brady's next landing spot.
Exactly.
It's one of two places. It's San Diego or LA. It's San Diego or Vegas.
You don't think
the Patriots are out?
You think the Patriots are out?
No, I'm saying if he doesn't go to the Patriots, word on the street is he bought a home in Vegas.
Okay. Really? Stand by.
Now we're talking.
Okay. Stand by.
Word is he bought property in Vegas. That's what my friends in real estate, I live in Vegas, He was there for the fight. Word is he bought property, or he inquired about buying property, but that's what I heard. It's not validated or documented, but he made some inquiries about some property.
And now it's been validated by Hardy. Has bought property in Las Vegas. Does that mean Tom Brady's a Vegas Raider? And if Derek Carr were available, how would you feel about that? 617-779-0985. As promised to you, Dave in Plymouth and his wonderful landline. Lead us off.
So, did you guys see the article in the Globe this morning about the interview with Gronk and what he said about Brady?
I'm just pulling it up. Go ahead.
Yes, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Also,
yeah.
I mean, so here's a quote, Dave. I'll just read it. I haven't really talked to Tom like that, said Gronkowski. I did talk to him after the Titans game. Just talked, you know. It wasn't even all about football. It was just about life and all. But I truly believe that he deserves the opportunity to go explore to see what's out there. He's been playing for so long, and just the way that he's been playing, just the level that he's been playing at, he definitely deserves an opportunity to go out there and test the market. So go ahead, Dave.
So I read that article, Mike, and I just think this is a well-orchestrated effort on Brady's part, and the real estate and the whole thing. He is aiming at Belichick and Kraft and saying, "You think I won't walk? Watch me." And I think this is part of it. I don't believe for a minute that he and Gronk have not talked about free agency and his going to either Vegas, to L.A., to Tennessee, any number of landing spots. I know he's talked to him about it. I'm absolutely sure that he's talked to him about it. And I think that he's doing it selectively to people he knows who are visible, right?
Okay, so I mean, Dave, just simply to cut you off. The Vegas thing we just stumbled into because Brandon Lang, you know, that's the only reason we know that. I don't think – that doesn't feel to me like a Brady plant. I mean, I don't know. That's a – if he's just
okay, but how about going out to Vegas and being photographed with the owner of the Raiders?
That's easy. Plunking down millions of dollars for a property in Vegas just to try and leverage the Pats? That's kind of strong.
Oh, so right. Okay.
I mean, so that's why I think it's for real. Like, yeah. I don't think you would do that just to leverage the Pats. Then he's got a Vegas house on his hands that he doesn't want.
No, I think there's been some leveraging going on, but the only question with the property is, you know, the company that builds them has developments all over the country, and they're, you know, Brady might be one of these people who's invested in it.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
But, man, again, I come back to the same word. That's a hell of a coincidence.
Exactly.
That is one hell of a coincidence.
Dennis and Beverly, hi.
Hey, two quick things. Just to touch on Brady. I know it's the Super Bowl, and I just want to tell you a quick thing about a subject you guys were talking about a couple of weeks ago. I think Brady's definitely gone. I think you guys have been ahead of the curve. I've been saying for quite a while. And people, I say it all the time, you know, through all the evidence is there from the contract negotiations, the Garoppolo thing, on and on and on. I think it's a definite. It's just the destination is the only question.
Okay, what's your other item? Quickly.
The other item is you guys were talking about great winners in our lifetime, and you missed one. Mark Messier, 6 championships, captain 2 of them.
Okay, there you go. Add it to the list. I don't remember the conversation. The first thing, if Brady's playing the game well, if he's playing the game, in other words, the only way you win a negotiation, the only way you ever get what you really want is if you're willing to go.
Absolutely.
And not just saying it, not just, you know, blowing that smoke, but literally, I'm okay not taking that offer. I prefer not to take the offer. I'm ready to walk away. That's the only time you ever get what you want. So what does Tom Brady do? Houses for sale, charities disassociated with, or, you know, stepping down from his role with, kids move, different school, properties in Vegas, properties in New York. He's out.
Yeah.
I mean, he's put himself in a position to do what the thing you have to do if you want to get what you want, and that is be ready to walk. And he's done a great job of that.
So the only question I have, and I will continue to have until the very end, is when it comes time to actually put the pen to paper.
I still, you know, if, right.
Will he follow through?
I don't know.
Right? Because, again, look, we've seen there are lots of occasions in sports where this happens, where it comes time to actually commit, to actually say I do, and a lot of these guys bolt.
Brady in Vegas.
Seriously.
Stephen Boston, how does that sound to you? Steve, this comment line says, Brady not going to Vegas. I'd like to hear why. Well, there's plenty of reasons why. To me, the big thing is he has to start over with the offense. And even if Gruden says to him, I'll change the offense for you, it's still, you know, Gruden's been doing it one way his entire life, and Brady's been doing it another way his entire life. That's like, That to me feels like almost the biggest stumbling block.
Okay, so again, let's just say then that McDaniels is staying in New England. So then he's not playing anywhere else. Right? I mean, well, in other words, if changing the offense is a major obstacle, then he's not going to leave.
Well, if it's something that's closer to him, like meaning closer to him in coaching and what he's been coached, Vrabel. You know, I mean, if he goes to, and I can't remember who the offensive coordinator is. He was a new guy this year. But what if, you know, Vrabel tailors it to Brady and Brady's comfortable with that code? That's different.
Okay, so Vrabel's a good variable. I was thinking more in terms of the Chargers.
And maybe even Flores if Miami's still in play. So I think there's different landing spots where it's not quite the start over that it would be, I think, in Vegas. I think it would be a big start over in terms of system.
I mean, I just think if Brady wants to go, if he's willing to go, he can't be too picky about what the offense is going to be, because otherwise he's never going to leave.
We've got Tom in the truck. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, Felger, we love you. We put up with Flory and Harry's enough, but we got to draw the line at Botton. That's just my opinion.
Fair enough. Thanks for the call. Yeah, no, that's not grammatically correct. He is bought in Vegas, not Botton. Cam and Taunton, you say we're disrespecting Tom Brady. How are we disrespecting Tom Brady?
No, Mike. No. You are. You're sitting there saying, how can you disrespect? And then you, in the same sentence, say Tom Brady and Marcus Mariota are separated by 2 wins. Mike, seriously, did Belichick invite you on the boat? Did you guys go have a good time or something? Mike, the boat should be named Tom Brady Lawrence Taylor, not 8 rings. You are so talking out of your ass on this. They're going at best 7-9 if Brady's gone. 6-10 to 5-11 is more likely. This is by far the stupidest take you have ever had. You
and that is
Tom Brady, Mike.
That's saying something, Cam. If I've reached another new low, I'm going to name the boat the facilitator. Get your facts right, okay? The 2 wins is a lot. I hate to break it to you. 2 wins is a lot. That's not a small deal.
In that league, it's like 15 or 20%.
I was going to give you a percentage, but I can't run the numbers that quickly. But it's 2 games is the difference between in the playoffs, out of the playoffs, division, not division, home field and a bye or not. Like, that's the difference between 10-6 and 12-4. I wouldn't sneeze at that.
No, it's a significant difference.
But I'm sorry. How is that disrespectful to Brady? How many games did he win for you last year where he made the difference?
The Bills games.
Yeah, so maybe, you know, like 2 or 3.
Well, he wasn't the difference in the first one, but if there's a backup.
But that's a big difference.
Okay, so, but that's what I'm saying, but that's not disrespectful to Brady. I mean.
Yeah, I mean, again, that's Cam taking it that way. I look at it as I think you're overrating what Belichick can do with a hack at quarterback against a tough schedule.
I may be.
Which is a big variable for me. Okay, again, if the schedule were like it was this year, fine. No problem. Next year, not without a quarterback who has a clue. They're not going to do it.
I am definitely categorically confident in Bill Belichick without Tom Brady.
And
I am.
And as for the name of the boat.
And I am dying to be either blood off the table or for me to shake my ass at you. I'm dying to see what happens.
No problem.
And the boat?
Fine, shake away. Yeah, again, like Murray says, the idea, I don't care what they name the boat. What I want to, though, is see you and Belichick, him boobs out in the Caribbean at some point here in the offseason, because you standing next to him, you'll look like the number 10.
Okay. Celtics Minute. Felger and Mavs report on the Celtics from last night after the update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Convention Center, presented by DraftKings on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Rebound Dragic, kick back to Butler, another 3, that is no good. Rebound Jaylen Brown, and the clock will roll down, and the Celtics, without Tatum, without Kanter, and on the final night of the road trip, get the biggest one yet. They hold off the Heat in Miami and make a statement in the Eastern Conference playoff race. The final score, Boston 109, Miami 101.
That's how it ended last night. Felger and Maz, Celtics report. Live Celtics report from last night. What'd you think? What'd you think of the game before we get to my hangover?
I thought Miami was obviously checked out at the beginning of the game. Celtics took control of it early. Then I thought Miami really started to establish itself a little bit more at the end of the first quarter into the second. I thought we had a game after that.
I thought it was really competitive. I was pleasantly surprised.
Good game, good win. Good game, good win. Why do you scoff? What's that look on your face?
Well, I'm not scoffing. No,
You are.
No, I'm just telling you the Heat weren't ready to go at the beginning.
At the beginning, yeah.
The Heat were on the second of a back-to-back.
Yeah.
Okay, and I think it showed.
That's my only point. They weren't ready to go at the beginning.
I think it showed. I think you scoffed. I think there was dismissing there.
It's a good win for the Celtics.
It's a good win.
Good win.
Against a good team.
Yep, and a team that they are fighting for seeding with, too. No small thing.
Heat's a good team. They have an excellent road record. And they're playing the second of back-to-back, so this is how I feel about it. You should have won that game. I think you're better than them.
Oh, they are better than them.
I think the Celtics are better than the Heat. They have more good players. And they're the second of the back-to-backs. And just so you're not, you know, unless you were out in South Beach for two straight nights and, you know, staggering in with no sleep on 48-hour, you know, there's no excuse. You should win that game, and they did, and they look good. So it just sort of validates, you know, what I think they are, which is the second team in the East. But they needed to start getting some of those wins. You know, they needed to start winning nights like last night. They'd had very few of those this year. The Lakers win is obviously their signature win, but they had very few and far between these kind of quality Eastern Conference wins. So here we go.
Yeah, so again, they bounce back of late. I still put them in the, you know, in a cluster with everybody other than Milwaukee. And I think that in a series, Philly would beat them. I don't know about Miami. That one might depend on home court.
I like that Miami team, too. I think they get a lot out of not a lot of superstars. Like, Waiters is good. That Dragic kid was good. I thought he was my favorite player to watch last night. Aggressive. That guy. I like their team. Who's 13 with the African name?
Yeah.
He can play. I like their squad.
Yeah.
I think that's a good team.
Yeah.
Now, they're well coached ever since ever since LeBron left Miami. Eric Spoelstra actually gets to coach. You know, there's a Brad Stevens thing there. It's a gritty little team.
But I like you better.
Yeah.
You're better.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a slouch. I just say that about the Heat because I don't think they're I don't think that's a slouch team. And one thing that stands out to me just watching with, you know, pretty nice seats, the Celtics can be a little passive. Like, when they put their head down and attack the rim and dig in, they're really good. Yeah, I think they're really good. But I felt like half that game, I'm saying, is someone going to put their head down and go to the basket? Is someone going to do something? Is someone going to slash? Is someone going to... They're just a little passive.
Yeah, they lapse into that, too, again, which is why I think if you go back to the Laker game, when you see them dig in and play with, like, a level of commitment and focus, they're pretty good. They are. I question whether they can sustain it enough. I still question in the, you know, postseason when it becomes a little bit more of a half-court game, whether they have the pure shooters in the absence of a big man to make it all work and defend the paint, like all of that.
Meanwhile,
I think stoned Celtics fans would like to know that stoned Felger.
Thank you.
Celtics fans would like to know that a stoned Felger appreciated watching Kemba Walker last night. He's got a little affinity.
I was just going to say, he's a badass. Yeah. This is the Felger Maz game report brought to you by that red sucker Murray handed me last night. Which I've let me give you a thought on that in 1 second. So he's a badass. I love that guy. I like Kemba Walker. I loved watching him play last night. I think he competes. I think he cares. I think he gets it. He's good. He's good. Kemba Walker is a bad little dude. I like him. Okay? That's my Kemba Walker thought. Now, I am for legalized marijuana. I'm all for it. Okay? I think that this is a good step forward for society, and governments have gotten smart about it, and we should... marijuana should be legal. That's how I feel about that. What you gave me last night... that should not be legal. Okay, so that should not be legal. That should not be legal. Think if I finished the whole thing, how bad it would
have
been.
So did you just have half?
Whatever it was, I sucked on it for like 2 minutes. I'm like, okay, that's that. I'm going to take this slow. And a straight shot to Planet Ziptonium.
Seriously.
Man. Jesus.
No, so this was my point. I'm glad that we got to this topic. Dude, your tolerance is pathetic.
Yeah, because Maz had basically the same thing, and he was
Seriously,
fine.
You're pathetic. Because you didn't even get to the end of the first quarter before all of a sudden you were playing zone.
Do you know what also hurts? What it hurt? What it didn't?
Not even the end of the first quarter.
Okay, so my tolerance.
Wow.
I told you my tolerance blows.
Holy crap! I didn't know it was that bad. I thought it was with Mike Silverman again, for crying out loud.
I don't know
long
what that
story.
Means.
I just knew because when we got in the game, you went from fine at pregame drinks, and then we get to the game, and you were like, like this. Your eyes were dime slots.
Is that thing that you gave me legal? Like, can you walk into store and buy that?
Yes.
That should not be legal. That should not be legal. It's too strong, man. There's got to be a line in there somewhere.
I'm with Maz. You have a very low tolerance.
I don't eat. But either way, what then hurt at the game is that can I just please get a watery American beer for crying out loud? I don't want a craft beer. I don't want a draft.
You want a Miller Lite.
I want a Miller Lite. Jesus. Or Bud Light. Just get a watery American Pilsner beer, please. And the only place that had it was the Tall Boy store. So the only way I could get my Miller Lite was it had to be in a Tall Boy, which they then poured into these clownishly big cups. You see the thing I was walking around with?
Yeah.
So it made it look, it was a bad look, because those things were vats of beer.
Yeah, you looked a little dorky. Yeah, and honestly,
you had a real problem slugging that thing down, too.
I think you had a real problem walking. Is that why you offered
it to Cedric Maxwell on the Celtics broadcast last night?
Apparently that happened. Okay, let's hear Matt. So we happened to watch Max and Granny were sort of in our section, broadcasting from the top row, and we were down closer to the bench.
We had better seats than they did.
Definitely.
We really did.
And, you know, I vaguely remember being chirped, and I thought it was just, there's some Boston people in the section, right? So, you know, sometimes you get a stray foul guy.
Sure.
And I thought that, turns out, I think it was Max. Go ahead.
Wisconsin's finest, Michael Felger.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, Michael Felger!
He doesn't know where it came
from. Michael Felger!
He's oblivious. He's not going to react to it. Just some fan. He's probably used to it.
I didn't know that was Max. The best part is when he first sees me, Max, he goes, Jesus.
Like they can't escape.
Jesus.
Sure, I'll tell you, Grandy's clearly got a little drill, so does Max, that they ignore people who walk by and try to make eye contact with them and flag them down. Because we went by there, we did all kinds of gesticulating and everything, and Grandy wouldn't even look our way. He wanted nothing to do with
it. It's a pro's pro.
Seriously. He's like, who are these massholes who came down here trying to get my attention? Because they know that I'm on the broadcast.
Walking about massive fats of beer. What's that other one then, Jimmy?
There's another. So you're back from your visit with Michael Felger.
Why are you here? He wants to hand me a beer. It's like, I mean, I know the Hub were pretty good and pretty liberal, but I don't think that they want me drinking cold one on air.
That's tremendous. Yeah. So anyway, I enjoyed the game. I liked the Celtics last night. Love Kemba Walker. There's your Felger Mad Celtics game report. Back to your phones on everything right after this.
Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz are live from the Miami Convention Center. Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And now, Felger and Maz present another motivational Super Bowl text from Bill Belichick to Jimmy Garoppolo.
Hey, JG. Happy hump day. Camel emoji. Need a laugh before practice today? Tabloid saying, goat emoji, getting dumped by Super G, LOL, crying laughing emoji. Told you he's washed up on the field and off, LOL, winking face with tongue emoji. Talk to you later, send.
Excellent, latest installment. You know Belichick's texting him daily. That's the Wednesday text for Jimmy G.
For sure.
Who continues to be totally disrespected in this game.
Really, again, all of America, if you ask me. Murray especially. The Murrayists, for crying out loud.
Here's your guy, if you want to yell at him. It's Big Steve from PFF, Pro Football Focus. He's the one that disrespected him. You want to get at him in the commercial break there, Maz.
What number player was he again?
17.
Drafting the Super Bowl. 17th player taken.
That might even be high. You could put Raheem Mostert ahead of Jimmy Garoppolo,
No, you couldn't.
Opinion.
Well, please.
He was right after him at 18.
Oh, God, that's insulting. Please. The idea that you would pick the quarterback of a team like that and put him 17th is insulting.
Number one was Patrick Mahomes. And what that article is telling you, Patrick Mahomes, the most important. Jimmy Garoppolo, just kind of there.
So this is what I mean. This has happened all week, and it continues. We're discussing that. We're discussing the fact that Brandon Lang was right yesterday. Tom Brady has bought property in Las Vegas. Another sign that he's gone. Your thoughts on that?
Okay, I still can't believe that that sweaty mental case actually
know, right?
That's right.
Oh, I can't believe he was right. He was right. He actually had some real info that came to fruition.
Stunning. Okay.
Really?
Stand by. Now we're talking.
Okay, yeah, stand
if,
by.
If, it's just the best.
If Brady goes to Vegas and Derek Carr is available, how would you feel about that? How would you feel about that as a Patriots quarterback? Rory in New Hampshire, go ahead.
Yeah, I just had one question. Love the show. Maz, why are you hating on Derek Carr so much? How many games have you seen him play?
Enough.
Enough, because he left the field with four games in hand that his defense gave up and statistically had a better year than Brady, but Brady gets a pass because of lack of talent. Tell me who the number one receiver for the Raiders was. It was a reclamation project from the Ravens that they signed off the practice squad who's coming off of alcoholism.
Yeah, so Rory, again, I can give you the numbers, too, and I can tell you that he had a good year under Gruden, and I said this earlier. You might be able to tell me that physically, Derek Carr at this stage is a better quarterback than Tom Brady. I'm telling you, he doesn't have the head or the heart. He doesn't. I just think the guy's got leadership flaws.
Okay, I think there's, Rory, thanks for the call. I think there's an intangible thing there that still has to be, beaten out of him. I want to see what he looks like with Belichick. I mean, that's a big component of this, working with Belichick. I think you give Belichick someone, with some talent, and if you need to work on certain things of his game, you give him to Belichick. I'd like to see what that looks like. I'm coming to realize, Murray, like a big part of why I'm so, and I want to see Belichick with another quarterback, and even a bum quarterback,
mm-hmm.
is that I think people get the quarterback thing so mixed up in terms of he sucks, he can't play, he does this, he does that. I think so much of it is coaching, and the team you're on, and the system you're in. And all of that. And I think...
what you're saying, I mean, Ryan Tannehill's proof of that this year. I mean, I know he's still Ryan Tannehill, and he sucked in that last playoff game against Kansas City. But overall, like, he was a great story this year. He turned his career around this
maybe
year.
Maybe Andy Dalton is that guy. Maybe it is...
I get it.
Maybe it's Derek Rivers. But it's like... you're playing for the freaking Bengals and Marvin Lewis. And... Well, usually surrounded by a bunch of dopes on the roster, a coach who's not ready for prime time, literally. And it's like, well, what if Andy Dalton was born into a world with Bill Belichick, or born into the NFL world with Kyle Shanahan or Andy Reid or someone like this, who's set up to succeed, surrounded by good people and smart? Maybe he looks like a different guy.
So then any mediocre quarterback is Bill can take to the next level?
I wonder, Maz.
Okay, so here's my big gripe, though, with Carr. Again, and I'm talking about him specifically now. I don't disagree with the idea that Bill can teach a lot of guys to play the position. Can he teach them to be leaders? Like, that's sort of an intangible thing. My gripe with Carr's not a leader. He sounds like a whining little twit every time he opens his mouth. It's like nobody believes. Just a whiner. He's a whiner.
I feel like you were one letter off there, but
yeah, I get it. Isaiah in Boston on the Celts. Go ahead, Isaiah.
Yes, one thing I was taking away from the Celtics game last night was I thought Brad Stevens was going to blow the game with leaving the bench in too long.
Big time.
But down the stretch, the one player that you guys always hate to see the ball in his hand, Marcus Smart, made the big plays by getting the charge by Bam Adebayo, blocking Tyler Herro, and stealing the ball from Jimmy Butler, and hitting the three to secure the win.
Yeah, he did all that stuff. But, Laufey, how many times did we look over at each other and say, why is this guy still on the floor? Was it Wanamaker? Like,
yeah.
The rotation is like, why do you still have...
Grant Williams. Ogilvy
and Grant
night.
Williams. Yeah. And like
23 minutes.
Don't get me going on Grant Williams.
Every time I look out on the floor, it's like, why do you have this? You're so deep. You have Brown and Hayward and Kemba Walker and Marcus Smart. Like, it's all these bums that are a couple of times I'm looking out and saying, why do you still have these guys on the floor?
So, look, hey, that's a legit gripe. They have no bench.
He plays.
Murray said this earlier.
He plays too
year.
Many of them.
Yeah. Grant Williams, man. You know, when you see him up close like that, boy, he's got a bad body.
Yeah. Is that right that only eight guys played last
night?
Yeah, he's got a bad body,
so
man.
He obviously didn't play the whole bench, but
Good Lord.
I think that guy's going nowhere. I hate to be like, I hate to be that harsh.
Well, you were, I mean, you had a few in you at that point, too. But at one point, you put a good point about him and saying, you know, when they talk about his intangibles and how good he is in the locker room, what they're really trying to not tell you is that he kind of sucks at everything else.
Exactly.
And anytime, it's like saying she's a nice person.
Yeah, right. He can't shoot.
And anytime
he's slow.
You hear anything about Williams, it's all that kind of stuff. Well, he's funny. He's good in the locker room. Good teammate. He's good to be around. Can he shoot? Can he do anything else well? Is he in good shape? No, none of that.
Get a nice personality.
Eric and Lowell, what do you think about Brady to Vegas?
Well, I know Belichick and Mike Mayock are homeboys. I can't see Brady leaving that, and I mean Belichick and Mayock could be on good terms because of that. I know Antonio Brown was acquired from.
I was going to say.
So I mean,
if Bill Belichick is willing to hire away Mike Mayock's player who threatened to beat him up, how is that going to get in the way of this?
Oh, I don't get it. I don't think it is
at all.
He just said it was a trade with Oakland. It wasn't a trade. He was released by Oakland and signed with the Patriots.
Right.
But even so, I even forgot about the Mayock connection. I mean, I think they would easily do a deal. So look, maybe you know Carr, Dalton. It comes down to which one you get the better deal for, right? And then I would rather have Dalton. I just honestly, I'm not kidding. I just think Carr is a wuss. He's a baby.
Robin Ward, Rhode Island. What do you got for me?
Felger, your tolerance is awful.
Pathetic.
You gotta think edibles, if you're someone that doesn't smoke marijuana, even if you just smoke it, it's gonna affect you more than someone that smokes it all the time.
Yes.
So the edible is just goes right into your bloodstream and it affects you faster. So it's not too strong. It's just
Oh it is. Oh this was Rob. It was a little nuclear bomb in a red lozen is what that was.
That's what I gave you last year too.
And look at me last year.
I don't know, Murray, did I crater?
No, you were fine.
He didn't have as much as I did.
I don't know.
Maz went for the...
I'm also shorter than you.
Try and slice it in half method, where I just sucked it down. Because that was a hard candy. Oh, God. It was brutal.
Spindly arms.
Brutal.
Break it up.
Seriously, again, so it's my fault now that you're stupid?
We got we have a Mookie Betts call on the board from Allen, Florida. Let's just hit on that quickly because I guess there's been some developments in that story. It feels like he's gone. We'll just give you a quick minute on that and back to your phones here in 90 seconds. Felger and Maz from the Super Bowl presented by DraftKings here on 95 The Sports Hub and NBC Sports Boston. Welcome to the simulcast. This hour of our program has been brought to you by Woodbridge Wines. No commercials here, just an update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.